This is Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe, and today's podcast is a powerful word from the Lord for the people of God. God says, it's all over. Now, we all know, or we should know, that when God says that something is over, it is definitely over. When I first heard this word, I took it as a sign of relief. The enemy has been hitting the people of God hard in this last few years with severe plots over our lives, over our families, over our ministries, over our money. And we've been pushing ahead in spite of the opposition. So we knew the struggle, the fight was all over as God had promised us if we continue the faith. And then a day or so later, I heard these same words in yet another way. It's all over became a warning to God's people in particular, but to the world in general, that God would not be tolerating their disobedience and rebellion any longer. This was a word of judgment. Now you have to understand, the word of God, and the Bible says, it's like a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. What will be good for one will be devastating for the other. What's a blessing for one will be a curse for the other. It depends on which side of the sword you fall on. As people of God who are faithful to God, we will find ourselves always on the blessing side and not on the curse. Now, when God gave me this word, I asked him to give me scripture references, and immediately I was taken to the Old Testament and the story about the people of God who were enslaved in Egypt. And as you recall, Pharaoh had enslaved God's people. God demanded that Pharaoh let them go, and the king refused. The Lord sent plagues against the nation. After being bombarded with devastating plagues, Pharaoh finally let the people go. But it didn't end there. You may remember the Red Sea experience. Pharaoh and his armies decided to pursue the people of God as they were leaving. Even after he agreed to let them go, God's people were fleeing for their lives and they ran up against the Red Sea. So they were faced with an impossible situation. The enemy was behind them and there was no visible way to escape. God had instructed Moses to take his rod and he put it forth in part of the waters, making a dry path through the sea for the people of God to escape. That is what the old folks would call making a way out of no way, because that's what God does best for those who trust him in impossible situations. Now, Pharaoh and his armies decided to follow God's people across the sea. I don't know what they were thinking, but if I had seen the sea open up, I knew that was an impossible thing. I don't think I would have followed these people. I would have been too frightened. But you have to understand, the enemy that's after the people of God in this hour are just like that. They are hell-bent on destroying what God is trying to do in our lives and in the earth. So the people of God got onto the other side safely. Then the waters receded. They went back to their natural state. In doing so, it drowned both Pharaoh and his armies. Now, a couple of things I wanted to point out to you that the Lord brought to my attention. You have to notice that the enemy lied about letting God's people go. Beloved, the enemy will lie even to God about his intent to let you go. But guess what? He has no choice but to let you go. If you belong to God and cry out to him for deliverance, then God is obligated to free you and give you his expected end. According to Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the plans I have for you. And the classic Amplified version says, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, not for evil, to give you a hope in your final outcome. So God has a plan for all of us that's for peace and not for evil. But don't you know that Pharaoh, by enslaving the people, it was done for evil? So the question becomes, how do we know that God has a plan for us? And most people don't go that far in their analyzing their situation. They just see something happen to them. They just assume God allowed it. But that's not the case. In this fallen world of ours, there are men and women in our world who spend a lifetime controlling and manipulating others, enslaving them in their plots and schemes. And most times it's financial. And what God says is he does not want his people to be enslaved to anybody, no man. In fact, we're supposed to have no worship, no man, or give our adulation to any man, but it goes to God alone. So when we talk about what God does for his people who are in bondage, the Bible says in Psalm 103:7 that God showed his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. Indeed he did, and indeed he will do it today to those of us who will listen to God and follow his instruction. He will show his mighty hand against our enemies. So God used Moses, and he will use us to send plagues against a nation, against a people, against whomever is standing in our way and is attempting to keep us from obeying God. Plagues are one thing. They convince Pharaoh momentarily. But in the end, Pharaoh was determined to keep the people enslaved. For what reason? You have to think about it. Why is it the enemy wants to keep you enslaved? Why is it that the devil doesn't want you to have what God wants you to have? Why doesn't he want you to be free? In the case of the people of Egypt, it's very similar to what it is in our day. It's all about economics. Pharaoh was determined to keep the people enslaved for the benefit of his nation. Now, if you look around at how America and the nations of the world work, they have to enslave the people in order to get income for the nation. Now, think about it. In America, if they're not selling products through the industries, what happens is they tax people. They involve the people of our nation in witty schemes to collect money from them. One of the most daring that we've seen in our day was Obamacare. And I remember God saying that Obamacare was an abomination because God had called President Obama to let people go, to free them from the government, to free them from welfare, to free them into what God had for them. And instead, he creates a health care plan that literally put the chains on all of the people of this nation and then says, if you don't do it, we're going to penalize you. The government's going to penalize you. So those are the types of things the government does. People talk about socialism. That's what socialism does. We take money from the people and the government takes it for their own use and enslaves the people to them. They determine what you can eat. They determine what you can have. They determine how you will live. And that is not God's plan. God's plan is abundance. God's plan is to multiply us and increase us. And what happens is when people are in bondage to the government, the blessing doesn't work. And then the nation is cursed. And we see that now. America's in one of the worst states it's ever been, but they have been built the last several years based on enslaving the people. Look how this nation was created, on the backs of slaves. That's the mentality that established this nation. That's the mentality that exists today. Our work world is a slave world, and God is saying that is not what I call for people to be enslaved to a paycheck, to an employer, to a government. But from Pharaoh's side, he was like, okay, who would build the cities if these people are free? How would Egypt's economy survive if the workers left had they not completed their work? There was no people in the land as numerous or as strong and powerful as God's people. No one could replace the manpower that the people of God could produce. So Pharaoh had economic reasons for not letting the people go. Yet, you have to understand, from God's standpoint, God's people were never destined to live as slaves. He has a good plan for us. You have to understand this. He always has a good plan for us. Even for people today, he doesn't want us to be enslaved. I need you to hear this and hear it clearly. There are people marching the streets in America looking for justice. God is the only place they will find justice, but the way our system is set up, we believe that we can march in the streets and gain justice, but it has never happened. It will never happen because justice is something that comes from God. God is the judge, but if we don't take it to the judge and we take it to men who are slaveholders and men who are accustomed to keeping the people in bondage, they're not going to set you free. Why should they? It's not economically feasible. And that's why there's a fight over Obamacare, the economics of it. It's going to cost too much money. Obama tied this country into something that will devastate us financially. And now and in the future, it would also rape the people of their finances because they can't afford it. Yet, this is how government is. And I remember this story back before Saul became king of Israel. God said, you do not want a king. He wanted to be the only thing that ruled over his people because that was the design of this earth. God was supposed to be the ruler in heaven. He created his son Adam for mankind to rule as God on earth as God ruled in heaven. So we were supposed to replicate heaven on earth, and we were supposed to be having a direct line of communication between God, and we would take our instructions from God on how to create the blessing throughout the earth and to multiply to make it a beautiful place. But when men decided that they didn't want to follow God anymore, they chose human beings, limited men with limited education, limited knowledge of how this thing works, to run something. And that's what's been happening. These men don't have knowledge of how to run a nation unless they're connected to God, who is the creator. It's like if you have a car. If you don't know how to run a car, and some people get in the car and just drive, but the car doesn't operate correctly. Something happens to the car. The first thing people have to do is take it back to the manufacturer. Who built this car? Find out, okay, why isn't this car working right? Why isn't this car working smoothly? And then they will get the answers from the manufacturer. Well, this is what you should have done. You've been doing it this way. Well, that's how all cars operate. No, this car is specific to this manufacturer. We operate differently. So we should look at our human existence the same way. If it's not working, why are we going to men? We need to go to God who created us. Again, there is a debate in our nation as to whether or not God created us, which in itself is nonsense. But the whole idea is we continue to see men as the source of our answers, when in actuality, They are raping our nation. They're raping our people, their finances, and putting us in a bigger hole. So that was the whole design that Pharaoh had for the people of God, to keep them enslaved. But there's one thing that was standing in between Pharaoh's plan and the people, and that was a covenant that God made with Abraham. Now, this covenant was something that God made with Abraham many years prior to these people being enslaved. It was this covenant that freed the people from slavery and empowered them to prosper in a land as God had planned for them from the very beginning. Now, if you go back in history before they were enslaved in Egypt, God had given Joseph a dream that made Egypt a powerful and wealthy nation. God did it for Egypt and for the world. But then a new Pharaoh comes along who forgot what God did for the nation. He was determined to destroy the people of God. But that wasn't going to happen because of God's covenant. And here's what God spoke to Abraham. Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. That's Genesis 15, 13 through 16. So even though the people may not have remembered that promise God made to Abraham, the promise was, yes, they would be enslaved in a land that wasn't theirs, but God was going to judge that nation, and afterwards the people would come out with wealth. And God even gave the reason why. He talked about the sin of Amorites not being yet full. So we're going to take a look at that, because that's what's going on in our land, in our time right now. This was the covenant God made with Abraham concerning his descendants. But beloved, don't you know that God has made a covenant for us in America through our forefathers? If you don't know that, it's time that you find out. There are things happening to people every day, some good and some bad, yet the bad may be happening for God's purpose. As he said, they're going to be enslaved. God allowed them to be enslaved just so that he could judge a nation and bring the people out with substance. And that's what God is doing in this time frame. And the word is clear. All things work together for those who love God and obey him, who are called according to his purpose. And that's Romans 8:28. So when you are called of God for a purpose and you're doing what God told you to do, it just as these people endeavor you to do, God will protect you. The bad will turn around for your good. It doesn't mean that everything is good, but that God can use the bad to bring about good in your life, if only you will trust and obey him. So first of all, you must be in God's purpose, not be doing your own thing. But you should be doing what God told you to do and expect him to automatically bail you out of whatever happens to you. Now, it may be a period of time. In this case, he said 400 years, but it was because, as he said, the sin of the Amorites was not full. But we'll talk about that later. Hold on to that point. But God had a specific time in which the people could be afflicted before he stepped in and took action against their enemies. So first of all, we find out the plan. For their plan was to get out of Egypt and to be set free and to go to find the promised land. For people who don't know their plan, that's the first plan you should do. Find out from God. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in fasting and ask God, where is it do you have for me to go? What do you have for me to do? What is your plan for my life? Again, Jeremiah 29:11 says there's a good plan. So where is that good plan? It's in the realm of the spirit where you talk and communicate with God, and that's how you will find out what it is God has for you. And then once you're in that plan and you're stepping in that plan and endeavoring to do what God tells you to do, you don't take a care for anything. Don't be anxious about what's happening, what you're lacking, who's coming against you. Just make your request known to God. You're on assignment for him. So once you're on assignment for him, let him know and he will take care of it. And that's according to Philippians 4:6. So we cast all our cares on him because he cares for us. 1 Peter 5:7 says, because God wants us to take the promised land that he's promised for us. That is our inheritance. So as we're moving to get that inheritance, God will take care of our enemies for us. You may remember Deuteronomy chapter 28, where it talks about the protections you have under the blessing, that if we hear the voice of God and obey him, that we'll be blessed coming and going. And in particular, God said he would take care of our enemies as well. So it covered our fruitfulness in our bodies, our fruitfulness and prosperity, but it also took care of anything that would happen with our enemies. He said, if your enemies come in one way, they'll flee before you seven. So God knew the plan he had for us and made provision for us to prosper in that plan. Again, our job, our only job in this earth as believers is to seek God and his plan, that good, perfect plan for our welfare, and then he alone will take care of the rest. So everything we need in this world, from supernatural provision, protection, God will take care of it for us. As Psalm 138:8 says, and this is exactly what we're about to see in our day, God will make perfect, and that's perfect according to his will, everything that concerns his people in this hour. So what is the Lord saying to his people today when he says it's all over? Whatever is hindering you, whatever is harassing you, and whatever is attempting to keep you from performing his will for your life, that thing is over. Now, we know that there are people who are perpetrating this, but they're being led by demonic forces. And God is about to destroy his enemies. It means that those who are intent on stopping the people of God from obeying and worshiping God, given the fact that we have a promise. God said one thing to Abraham that applies in our day. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. He says that in Genesis 12:3. In this season, those who refuse to let us go, God will curse. And they will meet the same demise that Pharaoh met. If they don't get out of God's way, God will remove them by force. I don't care who is hindering you. It could be a person or even a government. God will deal with them in like manner. But we have a covenant. You have to understand. Stand on your covenant. And God would uphold it, even if it's by force. It's like God told Abraham, your descendants will be enslaved, but after that, the nation that treated them as slaves will I judge. He will bring into judgment every person who's hurt the people of God. The word says, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. A lot of people disregard that because they're like, well, this is America. I can do what I want. I can say what I want. But not if this is God's person, not if there's somebody who's God's hand on us, because God will always make you pay. This is God's type of justice. The Bible said he's a judge. He'll put down one and set up another, according to Psalm 75:7. And God has already determined this is his hour of vengeance to comfort all that mourn in Zion. And that's what Isaiah 61:2 says. And who is Zion? The people of God. So we are people of God who are moving in his kingdom. God is going to be taking vengeance on our behalf. So how does God determine this hour? We don't fully understand. But the Bible talked about that the sin of the Amorites wasn't yet full. So God allows people to sin for a period of time, and then there comes a point where it's full and God cuts them off. That's what he told Abraham, that his descendants would come out of slavery when the sin of the Amorites was full. Who are the Amorites? They are the people of this world who follow after idols and defile the land. In our world, it's everybody who does everything that's against God's will intentionally. Who intentionally want to make sure that their God, whatever that God is all satanic in nature because it's against Almighty God. But he warned his people from the time they got out of Egypt against mingling and marrying with idolaters, those who shed innocent blood and make sacrifice to idols. We are the children of the Most High God. We don't serve idols, lest we suffer the same penalty as those who don't know God. But when we stand for God in the land which he has planted us, which he has given to us, then he will fight for us against even the most evil government, and he will bring us out with great substance. It's payback. That's how God looks at it. It's vengeance and recompense. It's our recompense for what we have suffered in that land, including those unjust laws and abominable acts of men that are allowable by our laws. Now, again, as I said, there are people arguing in the streets, fighting in the streets, threatening violence. They're going about it the wrong way. God is a judge. We take it to him. And it's really particularly disturbing when I see black people out there, because this has been the season God has been proclaiming and declaring all along that he was making millionaires and billionaires among black people who would listen to him. And this was recompense, payback for what they have suffered in slavery in this nation. Now, what's interesting, God has been doing it. Was Obama aware of this? Oh, yeah, he was very aware of it. But there was no way he was going to let this be known to the people. Because once people realize that they have a promise from God, then they will turn away from what the leader of the nation is doing to follow God. And as the Lord said, he didn't want God to show him up. He didn't want to be upstaged by God. So he decided he was going to put his program first. But yes, it was widely known that God was raising millionaires and billionaires from black people in this nation. Those who would listen to God and trust God. As I said in previous podcasts, there were men, white men of God in LA, who were saying, you know, they were trying to find a way to marry into a black family that was obedient to God. Why? Because they said they're going to be the wealthiest people in the world. And I've written about this since about 2010, where the Lord was saying it was those of African blood who had been raped, abused, and taken from their land all throughout history. Those places were going to have to pay. And America was one of those places that was going to have to pay. So that's God's plan, the good plan he has for African Americans in our nation. However, they can't hear the plan because they're too busy yelling in the streets, exercising their rights as Americans, but they don't understand the rights of Americans pale in comparison to their rights in God's kingdom if they would just become a member of God's kingdom, a member of God's family, and turn away from going after the nation. It's God who's going to repay. The nation cannot. And even if you're trying to look for money, how can you get money from a broke nation? That's what Obama was trying to do with Obamacare. He's trying to hook people into giving their income, their stuff, to support the nation. God is not in that. So they can't be looking to the government and can't be looking to men. They have to look to God himself, because we in America have a covenant with God that he will uphold for those of us who trust him. Now, the Word of God says that we are in this world, but we're not of this world, which means we're called to be members of Christ's body as ambassadors. And our job is to show the world how our kingdom operates under the kingship of Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, too many Christians are operating just like the world. If that's you, it's time to repent. Turn that thing around before judgment falls upon you and your family. Remember, God has declared it's all over. He's not tolerating that behavior anymore from anyone who calls himself a Christian. Jesus is returning soon, and he's coming for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. That's what Ephesians 5:27 said. But the question is, will you be among those who are blameless before God? Will you endure hardship like a soldier, give glory to God, and turn to him to solve his situations in your life? Because if so, then what Moses declared to the people of God will also be applied to your life. And here's what it says in Exodus 4:13. And I say this because this was a prophetic word the Lord gave me when I was going through what I was going through, being attacked on every side, people threatening to take my life and that of my family, people stealing my money. And what the Lord said was, and he quoted this scripture, and the Lord said it still applies today for the people of God. Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Again, that's Exodus 14:13. And then it says in Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of those who prosper in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Now, doesn't that sound like people in our day? The wicked people are trying to keep our stuff from us, our money from us, our children from us, to put us under their subjection. But here's what God says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. That means don't be out in the street screaming and hollering. Again, it says, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evil doers shall be cut off. And I want to stress this, evil doers, whether you are in God's house, God's family, or you're outside in the world, evil doers will be cut off. That's solid with God. But those who wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, the wicked shall not be. Yea, you shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. For the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in abundance of peace. That's Psalm 37:7 through 11. Again, God says he has a plan for our welfare, to give us good and not evil, to give us peace. How do you get that abundance of peace? It's saying here, being meek, ceasing from anger, forsaking wrath, and doing anything from an evil, wicked heart, and not getting upset with those who are doing evil. So this is God's day. He said it's all over. It's all over for them. It's all over for you if you are one of those who are angry and acting out. Then this is just some of the things the Bible says, but you can go throughout the Bible and find many, many stories that apply under the same concept that God, when he says it's over, and he brings that sword down, and those who are on his side, standing in faith, will be taken care of and blessed, and those on the other side will be cursed, and many of them even saw their death, as he will in this day. But God said it's all over. He says, the time to favor Zion, yet the set time is now. This is our time. This is our hour and our season, says God. It is a time in which God will favor his people and take revenge upon his enemies. And Psalm 37:13 says that God is laughing at his enemies because he knows their time is coming. And he says that time is now, according to the Spirit of God. So be of good cheer, people of God. Your salvation has come, and God will repay you for everything the devil thought he could get away with doing to you. Get ready for repayment. Get ready for restoration of all things, all the way back to Adam. This is our time. Because remember, the kingdom of God is about transformation, taking people out of the kingdom of darkness and bring them to the kingdom of God's dear Son. So the transformation has to be in our lives. It has to be reflected in everything we do from the inside out. And then God wants that change. And if he doesn't see that change, then we remain on the side of the curse and not the blessing. So get ready. There's a restoration for those who will believe God and stay in their place of protection under Psalm 91, come to provision as well. This is our time, says God. It's all over. No more suffering, no more pain. The blessing is about to manifest for those who will trust God and obey him. But the curse will devastate those who refuse to bow their knee to God, and many of them will lose their lives. Beloved, this is a call to prayer and repentance. According to Ezekiel 11:33, God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why should you die when God is blessing his people like never before? This is the greatest hour to be in the kingdom of God and in his righteousness. Repent. America and the nations are in trouble. They need the people of God to be right with God. For God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. That's 2 Chronicles 7:14. Marching in the streets will not help America. Christians turning their hearts back to God in prayer is the only hope for our nation and for the world. We are called to operate in love, not in hate. Jesus even commanded us to pray for our enemies. So pray that God touches their hearts and minds before the judgment falls upon them and they lose their lives. In fact, pray for all men, whether you like them or not, whether you agree with them or not. The power to change the nations lies with the people of God. He has commanded us to pray for kings. That also means for presidents and vice presidents, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. The Bible says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. And that's according to 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 5. Finally, do not render evil for evil. You, beloved, were called to inherit the blessing. Now I'll leave you with this. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. That's 1 Peter 3:10 through 12. This has been Paula Matthews with Epic Books and Cafe saying, until next time, God bless.